Ask now our brother George just to come and to share a word of testimony. I'll not be preaching, he'll be reading God's word and bringing that word of testimony and applying it as he feels led of the Lord to saved and unsaved alike. And our prayer is tonight the Lord will richly bless him and use him for the glory of the Lord. Amen.
Well, I don't think I ever was in this church at a service before, ever. A Sunday evening service or any time on the Lord's Day. So it's nice to be here in some ways. And other ways, I would much prefer to be sitting in the pew listening to my brother preaching. But he asked me to come along. I'm here. He's obviously... I told him, scraping the bottom of the barrel, but you'll have to bear with me and pray for me. This is really not my scene in the pulpit. It never was, and but may the Lord help us tonight as we speak a word of testimony to you. Congratulations on this fine building. It's a beautiful building and well finished and looks very well, and it's a credit to the church here. I must say, we had our Children's Day in Kilkeel this morning and this evening, and we made a special presentation to one of our Sunday school teachers, Mrs. Sylvia Hanna. She has been teaching for 50 years, from 1967, the year the church commenced, and she's still there. And we told her this morning, this is not a retirement gift, it's just to mark your anniversary for. Nobody in our congregation has held one office continually for the same amount of years. And Sylvia, she nearly fainted when we called her up. She was sitting at the front. Normally she sits near the back, and we knew this is a good day to do it. She's at the front, and we'll call her up. And it was a great occasion. It's a great thing to have faithful Sunday school teachers that are there in season and out of season, when the going's good and when the times become lean, they keep at it. And the same with the children's meeting. I had the pleasure of being in our own children's meeting this week, showing slides of Nepal, and what a blessing it was to see those people in our congregation that carry that on faithfully. And I know the same is done here, but pray for us as we pray for you. Now, I want you to turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, and I'm going to read some verses from this chapter. The 9th chapter of John's Gospel. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbours, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is this not he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus, made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. We'll end our reading there and pray the Lord will bless this reading of his word to all of our hearts. I was thinking when I was coming to give a word of testimony of that verse that they asked this man, How were thine eyes opened? Verse 10. How were thine eyes opened? Because we are all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We go astray, the Holy Scripture tells us, from our mother's womb. And that is without exception. We all go astray. And there comes a day in all of our lives when we must choose life or choose death. There comes a day when the Holy Spirit works upon us. And either we are drawn to the Saviour or we live on for our own selves and go out lost into eternity. How were thine eyes opened? I was born into a family of 13. I was number 8. 8's the new beginning, you know, in the Scriptures. So I have 8 sisters and there was 5 boys. And my mother lived till she was almost 90. So is anybody here can beat that record? I think when she died, she had left about 85 of an offspring, children and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, etc. But the Lord blessed her with good health. We really had a happy upbringing. My grandfather on one side, and my mother would have been brought up Church of Ireland, and on my father's side, they were Presbyterian. We lived with my granda Perry, the Church of Ireland side, and he was a good man. I read an interesting comment by a man recently. It was an elder in Scotland that wrote this. He said, a man said to me the other day, so-and-so, and he was a church member, is a good man. But he doesn't remind you of Jesus. And that's quite possible. We can meet many good people, but they have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. At the age of, I think, about 3 years, I left home, went down the lane one day and up the road, and I was lost and I didn't know it. And my mother went looking for me and she didn't know where I had gone. But I was happily plucking flowers along the road. But think of that again. I was lost and I didn't know it. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you're lost and you don't know it. The grace of God has never entered your heart. You've never known the Lord as your own and personal Savior. Well, the Word of God shows us the way to get saved. And you can know that you're lost. And you can know how to be saved. As a family, we were always sent out to the Sunday school. And we always went to church. I went to church as a youth 3 times every Lord's Day. And the Sunday school as well. And the Bible class during the week. If a mission came to the area, we always attended it. Never questioned it. We're always there. Remember a man by the name of Bob Sproul, converted Roman Catholic from Dublin. Was a wild man, broke out of prison and got caught in the barbed wire and shouted at the men if they didn't come back and help him. He would give them all up, so they got him off the barbed wire. But Bob came to our area. And he held a mission. And I give the hymn books out as a young, just a young fella, 12 or 13, every night at that mission. But you know, I wasn't concerned. at that time to be saved. But there was another young man. He was born into trying circumstances. He was the name of Bob Cousins. And Bob got in with bad company, and he was drunk continually. But Bob was at some black demonstration in Newton Arch, and Bob heard some man preach the gospel, and he got converted. And Bob came back home, and after that, wherever he could organize meetings, whether it was in the tent or it was in the barn or somebody's shed, Bob organized meetings and he preached the gospel. And I remember as a wee fella attending his meetings, and really it was there I come under conviction of sin, but I still wasn't converted. But you know, I believe I'm here tonight, an answer to my granda's prayers. My granda died, I remember him. He died in 1952. Now, I'm sure you thought I wasn't born till after that, but however, I was. I once was at a meeting and Dr. Paisley was there. And I said, jokingly, I said, there were two great things happened in Northern Ireland in 1946. I said, I was born, and Dr. Paisley came to Ravenhill. And he said to me and brother, humility just forbids you to say which was the greatest. I said, that's right. But I was born in 1946, but my grandfather was a man of God. I visited an old lady who was a cousin of my mother's. I used to go regularly to see her. And she was one of these women that was as good to you as any preacher. And she always talked about the scriptures to you and talked about the Lord. She was a great person. I was taught a lot sitting under her. But she says, you know, George, I remember the night your grandfather was converted. Now, I'm speaking about over 100 years ago. It was in the Methodist Church in Annalaw. And there was a mission on. And the place was packed. And he said the preacher was preaching. But he says, in the middle of the meeting, your granda got up. He says, I can see him yet. And he put his hand up. And he stopped the preacher. And he said, I need to get converted. And I need to get converted now. And the man led him to the Lord. Some years ago, I was out walking on the Esplanade in Kilkeel, down at the shore. And I met a former neighbour. He had just retired from the large Roman Catholic school in Kilkeel. He was the principal. And I got speaking to him. And among other things, he said to me then, do you remember your grandfather? I says, I do. I remember my granddad. He says, you know, he was a good man. Well, I said, I don't remember too much about him, but I do remember he had a broken finger and it never was set, and it was that way till he died. But he said, we as children used to try to straighten it, but I says, it helps me into bed when he hadn't much grip in his hand. Well, he says, your granda, we used to play in your street as children with my older family members. And he said, your granda used to sit in the house with the door open, and he read the Holy Scriptures out loud so that we would hear it. And that man, he never forgot that. You see, my grandfather believed that faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And even it's only reading the Word of God, faith can come by hearing. I remember my older sister telling me that when he used to milk the cows, he'd been singing, Shall We Gather at the River? And he'd been milking away and singing his heart out. Another neighbour told me, he says, we used to go to visit an old man that was dying with your granda. And he says, he made us sing all the hymns to him. I wonder how we'll be remembered. Some of us are grandfathers. How will we be remembered? Some are fathers. How will we be remembered? But that man never forgot him reading the Holy Scriptures. I was just speaking to my older sister yesterday, and she says, aye, that's right. She says, he used to read regular to us. Great thing, you know, to have grandparents like that. And he prayed for us. I believe them that answered his prayer. When I was 15, we left school. Now you would understand, with 15 of us, our parents didn't let us tarry long at school. We had to get left as quick as we could and get out and earn some money. Summertime came when we were running to school. The shoes were wicked off us and we ran on our bare feet well. That kept them good for the winter time. And if it didn't fit you, they fit the next fella coming on. And that was just a hand down, but we didn't take a bit of harm. But I left school and I went to work in Killaloe, County Down. Not Killaloe, County Armagh. But the farmer I worked for, Milk Farm, stayed there for 2 weeks at a time, came home every other weekend. But he had a farm at Killaloe, County Armagh, but he said there was no water on it for us, not enough water for his herd, so he moved to Killaloe, County Down. And I remember being there, but I came home every other weekend. And one weekend I came home, there was a mission on in a portable hall in Kilkeel. A Canadian preacher came in, and I don't know to this day, and nobody could tell us how he found this site. And he arrived at this hall, and he preached the Word of God in it. And I remember attending it. And the second time I went to those meetings, I had known the Word. And I'd known by this time my need of God's salvation. My need to come to Christ, to accept Him as my Saviour, to know my sins forgiven. I knew by then that the wrath of God already abided upon me. But there was a refuge, a mighty refuge, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that second Sunday night, I remember waiting, and I accepted the Lord. The Lord accepted me, had mercy upon me, and blessed us with His salvation. Life went on. 1977 came, and I recall having a burden to do something for the Lord. And it was then that same year as our brother John Hanna went to Spain as a missionary, I commenced the book work in the Mourne Missionary Trust. And I used to go around the markets in Ulster. And Roberta here used to handle a lot of books and sell them in this area. And every Saturday I would have called and give her a supply of books going through or coming back from the market in Cookstown. And we did these markets for years. I attended the Lammas Fair 20 times. I mean, it was a difficult place to get in and out of with such amount of people. But the Lord blessed the work. Then in 1990, I think it was, Reverend Mineri retired as the treasurer of the Mission Council, the Mission Board, and I was asked to take that on. And the work kept growing and growing. Missionaries were going here and going there. And eventually, I had to give up the book work. Our brother Ian Campbell now runs it. And I took on the full-time office work and being the Presbytery Missionary Officer for our church in 2001. Retired last year. I thought I'd done long enough and it was time to get out before I got kicked out. But those were my best years. I really enjoyed it. And travelling here, there and yonder to be with the missionaries and to see the work, to try and encourage them. And the Lord really blessed. And you know, we saw thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds gathered in. Our school in Kenya cost us about £150,000 short of a million. And we saw all that money brought in, bit by bit. I remember Margaret Russell had a desire to start a Christian school. And she said to me, is there any money? Well, I says, we've a bit. How much would it cost? She said, probably 13,000-14,000. So I said, go ahead, we'll get it some way. And we got it. And then they started the secondary school. and the dormitories and all that came with it. And vehicles had to be bought. But you know, the money came in, bit by bit. Many a time we had to cry out to the Lord for it. But the Lord answered and heard us and helped us and blessed us. And we saw the orphanage built in Nepal. I remember being in the office one day and Reverend Wesley Graham rang me from Abu Dhabi. He says, George, I'm just on my way home from Nepal. And he says, you'll have to come and we'll go back out. There's a tremendous work going on there under a man the name of Paul Thapa. And that was June time. We arranged and went out in October. And what a work was going on. And Wesley said to Paul, now, we want you to show us some of these churches, and they're all in the hills. I don't think Nepal has a motorway. It's too many mountains, and it's winding all the time. Very slow place to drive in. You can't get past people, except you pass on the corner, and very often they do. But Paul took us to see some of these churches. Now, I was only not long after a triple bypass. This year marks my 20th anniversary of that, by the way. And I wasn't long after that, but my doctor told me afterwards, if I hadn't known you were doing that, I wouldn't have let you go. But sometimes you don't tell them, you just go on. But we managed it. And I remember us going to see one church, and Paul said to us, now, we'll have to cross a river several times. Ah, well, that's many a river we crossed. Plenty of bridges. But there was no bridges. And we just had to go down until it, take our shoes off and get sandals, tied them around our ankles, and we crossed that river 13 times. We're soaking, but we dried when we come out. And then we climbed a hill, and we went up and saw a small church there that they had built. I remember leaving, we asked the old man that was in charge there, have you any requests? This was always one regret I had among many, but this was one. And he said, I would like an ox to be able to plough the ground and to give us milk and whatnot. The plough with the cows, and they have a wooden plough. And I went home and I forgot about it. And I didn't often, but I forgot about that. That man died, but he's with the Lord today, but he must have got his crops in anyhow. But the Lord blessed us and undertook for us. And we saw the mission work extended greatly. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. What great days there were. I'll never forget them. I'm hoping in the will of the Lord to go back out for the opening of the second orphanage. Sometime maybe late this year or early next year. They have it almost complete. But that time we went out, we found 11 orphans, some of them 15 years of age, and they're all in the one room sleeping, bunk beds. And we came home and made an appeal, and we raised about 20,000, and they were able to put another two stories onto that building, and it gave them a lot of room. And it's a blessing to see those children. Some of them today have been trained as nurses. Other young men have gone out, and they're living in their own houses, and they're trying to start churches in their own districts. And the Lord has blessed it. Pray for Paul Thapa. Pray for the work in Uganda. Pray for Kenya. We need missionaries in Kenya. Maybe there's a couple here. And you're maybe 50 years of age. Well, you could go out and do something for the Lord. Kathy Walker didn't go out to the mission field till she was 50. Miss Hines, the late Miss Hines of Lurgan, went to the mission fields when she was 50. She died at 96, and the Lord used her greatly. You know, the Lord can use older people as well as young people. But there's a great door that's opened. There are many adversaries, but the Lord says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. The Lord blessed us. Now, I want to turn for a brief time back to this here that we're looking at. He said there, they asked him in that verse that we're reading, how were thine eyes opened? And you see verse 11. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed me. I want us just to think of that phrase for a few minutes. A man that is called Jesus. All our hymns tonight, and I was interested in that last one that your minister announced, going through the life of Christ, his birth, his life, his death and his resurrection. And I want us to think for a few minutes on a man that is called Jesus. That should be the theme of every Christian. And you know, every day at some stage, we should take time to think of what the Lord did for us and to read his word and to meditate upon it and to ask the Lord to bless us as we think of the man that is called Jesus. You know, he was a saviour that was promised. Come to the first chapters of Genesis, and he's promised there. He's promised that the devil would attack him, but there would be a saviour coming that would save his people from their sins. And then if you come to Genesis 49, we've got a family gathering. And Jacob, by this time, has gone down into Egypt for many years, and he's dying. And he called all the children before him. We'll look through all the references, but it's a deathbed scene. And Jacob has called all his sons round his bed. And Jacob's sitting on the side of the bed, and he's leaning, the book of Hebrews says, he's leaning upon a staff, and he's speaking to his sons that are gathered round him. Some of these men are grandfathers. And he says, I want to tell you what's going to befall you in the latter days. And mind you, Jacob was very straight with his sons when he had them gathered round his bed. He was very faithful to them. And he looked, gather together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. And he speaks about Reuben. He speaks about Simeon and Levi. And he looked at them, even though his sight was almost gone. And he said, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into their secret. Unto their assembly mine honour. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. That was straight to him. He didn't overlook their sin. And you know, the Lord will never overlook our sins. Never overlook our sins. We must confess them and forsake them. But then he spoke to Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Verse 8. Thy hand shall be the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? And then he says this. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Shiloh was the Messiah. And that was the one that the Jews were waiting for and looking for, all down through the centuries. That was Jesus Christ. Shiloh will come. And Shiloh did come. And then if you come to the Psalms. You come to Psalm 22, and it's known as the Psalm of the Cross. And there we see him in his crucifixion. And there we hear him, even though it was hundreds of years before the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A foreshadowing of his suffering. You come to Psalm 23. You've got his tenderness and you've got his care for us. The shepherd's psalm, he maketh me to lie down beside still water. He restoreth my soul. You ever get to a place in your life where you need it, your soul restored? And we all can get careless and get carried away and get busy in life and get taken up with this, that and the other thing, and we miss out with the Lord. You know, he's the restorer of our souls. Bless him. That's the psalm of the crook. And then we come to the Psalm 25. It's the psalm of the crown, where the gates open up and they're lifted up, and the King of Glory, the resurrected Christ, goes into heaven. He's foreshadowed. You come to Isaiah and the 53rd chapter. What a chapter that is. Ever meditate on it? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And this is about Christ. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Look at this verse. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. There's maybe people here tonight and you're acquainted with trouble. You're maybe acquainted with pain. And you're maybe acquainted with hardship. But the Lord of Glory, remember, this was God the Son who left the realms of glory. And this is speaking about him yet to come. He was acquainted, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Grief was his companion. And all of the scriptures you never read of the Lord ever laughing or smiling. But you do read about him weeping. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, there's a verse in that chapter, and it's a very difficult, I always find it a very difficult verse. The 53rd chapter. It's in verse 11. It says, he shall see. Verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin. And God the Father bruised him in Calvary. Put him to grief. He was made sin for us. And this was the promised Saviour. But look at the next verse. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. After his work of redemption was over and he had risen again, it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. You ever think of that personally and think of it? How could the Lord be satisfied with me? I'm his child. But it says there, he shall see of the travail. And I was part of his travail in Calvary. Was it for me alone, the Saviour left his glorious throne? Came down to seek and to save we who were lost. We were religious. We were church attending. We were upright and honest, but we needed to be converted. And he finds us, as Ezekiel says, lying in the field in our blood. And he passed by us and he saw us cast out by the devil to be destroyed. And he says, as I passed by thee, I said unto thee, live, live. And that command came and gave us life. And like Wesley of old, we're able to sing, my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. But tell me, he shall see of the travail of a soul, shall be satisfied. Lord, What amazing grace that you should be satisfied with me. We come to Malachi. And Malachi ends the Old Testament prophecy. And there's a great space, maybe 300 years. Malachi said, "The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." But it was going to be maybe 300 years before he did come, before Shiloh came, the Messiah. And then there was a silence for all that time until we came to the New Testament era. And do you remember how it was said there about the angels? First of all, about the decree coming from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And everyone went to be taxed in their own city. Their own city. And Mary and Joseph, they moved to Bethlehem. Think of the Saviour. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. It was told to the angels, to the shepherds. Do you remember how the shepherds left their sheep? They left them to the wild animals. They left them to whatever came. They said, "Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see these things that have come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they went and they found the child. Sometime later, they went up to Jerusalem to do with him after what the law demanded, having circumcised. And they were a poor family. Because Jesus, as regards his wealth, was a poor saviour. He wasn't poor in mercy, but in riches. He wasn't poor in salvation, but he was poor in silver. And they brought just the pigeons, because they were a poor family. But the Lord said a word to one man that was waiting for Shiloh, Simeon. And the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon, "Get up to the temple, because the Lord whom you seek has suddenly come to his temple." Could you imagine? Simeon was an old man, for it was then that he prayed, "Lord, you can let me die now." But Simeon came. What was he expecting to see? I don't know. Was he expecting to see some great warrior, some king-like figure with his royal robes on him? He didn't see that. He saw a babe in arms. He saw a young woman standing with a child. But Simeon knew that's the Lord's Christ. And what did he do? We read that he took him up in his arms and he embraced him. And he made that great statement, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." You know, when you see Christ, that's our salvation. When you embrace Christ, you're ready to depart. You're ready for eternity. And you're not ready until you do embrace him. "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace." And he saw the Saviour. He saw Shiloh. He's only a babe. But this man is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. This child is born to be king. This child is born to bear the sins of his people. And Simeon knew that. And by faith he embraced him. Anna, who had been 84 years a widow and served the Lord in the temple day and night with fasting and prayers, came in a like instance and gave thanks unto God. Great thing, you know, when you have men and women and any congregation that know when the Lord has come amongst them and are praying for the Lord to come amongst them. And brethren, let's keep our prayer meetings hot, and let's keep that spirit of revival amongst us. And let's always be, as the scripture says, stirring ourselves up. How do you do it? By meditating on the word, and by seeking the Lord privately in prayer, and then in the public place. God will hear our prayers. He heard the prayer of Anna. He fulfilled the expectation of Simeon. Lord, I'm ready to go now. I've seen Shiloh. I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He was poor. I once visited Liberia. I've been out many times, but we're traveling to see a work on the Guinea-Sierra Leone border. It was 11 hours through the bush. And when I got there, the man that was running the work, he was showing me around. It wasn't much of a place, but it was a children's work. And he had no money. We helped him out a bit over the years, but he was doing a work amongst the orphans and the children. And as he showed me around the whole area, I said to him, Moses, where do you live? Where do you live? He says, have you ever heard of that text in the scripture? The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he took me over to a store where he kept the maize locked. And he said, I just sleep there beside the maize. That's my home. The Lord Jesus Christ, it's recorded that he said in Matthew 8 and 20, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Our Saviour, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Another time the Pharisees came and tempting him and asking him, should we pay tax to Caesar? And he said to them, lend me a penny. He was poor. And yet, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Two short points to leave with you. He was a pitiful Saviour. He was coming one day into the city of Nain, and he met a widow woman coming out. And you know, if you look through the scriptures, everywhere that the Lord Jesus came in contact or met death face to face, death always gave way to him. Because he's the resurrection. And her only son was being carried out, this widow woman. And he stopped the funeral procession. And he called on the young man to awake. And he sat up in the coffin and restored him to his mother. And they went home rejoicing. Do you remember Bethany? And his friend Lazarus had died. And his sister said to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother would not have died. But Jesus says, look, your brother will live again. Remember, they said, I know that at the last day he'll rise in the resurrection. But he said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And Lazarus was restored to life. He was walking by the pool of Siloam one other day. And we read that there was a great multitude lying there waiting for the troubling of the water. For at a certain time of the year, the angel came down, and those first into the waters were cured of whatever disease they had. And there was one man among them all. He chose out this one man. And he went over to him, and he said, will you be made whole? And he says, Lord, I have no man. He was lying, I think it says, for over 30 years. I have no man. Is there somebody here tonight? And the Lord's word comes to you and you say, and asks you, will you be made whole? Will you accept him today? And you say, I have no man. Well, he had a man. The man called Jesus. And he said to him, I say unto you, arise and take up your bed and walk. What a Savior. He was a pitiful Savior. I see him one day, and he's looking down over Jerusalem just before the crucifixion. And we read that he wept torrents of tears. When he was at the tomb of Lazarus, there were silent, trickling tears on his cheeks. But here, he wept tears that burned his cheeks. And he looked down over that city, and he saw the destruction that was coming when one day the Romans, 70 years later, would surround that city and would destroy man, woman, and child. And they would toss it to the ground. And their great temple would be cast down. And he stood there and he looked down over it and he said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered thee, but you would not. And you don't know the day of your visitation. I have walked in your streets. I have healed your sick. I have fed the hungry. I have opened the eyes of the blind. And yet in a few short days, those that cried, Hosanna, they would say, crucify him. And Jesus wept full of pity. Is there people sitting here tonight and you've heard this word of the Saviour passing by Market Hill and pleading with you to look unto him for salvation? And he must say in the last day, how oft would I have gathered you, but you wouldn't. How often would I have brought you to myself, but you cast me off. I'm going to go my own way and do my own thing. He was a pitiful Saviour. There's one last thought. He's a coming Saviour. Do you remember when, after the resurrection, he led them out as far as Bethany, the first chapter of Acts, and he blessed them? Some think that it was a Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. But he blessed them, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And then a cloud received them up out of their sight, and he disappeared. And the men of Galilee stood gazing upwards. I couldn't believe it. He's gone. And then the angel appeared and said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus, the man called Jesus, this same Jesus that you've walked with, that you've handled, that you prayed with, that has blessed you, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. And what a day it'll be, brother. Do you ever think of that at any time during any day? What will it be like when the Lord comes again? Could it be today? Could it be tomorrow? One will hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And that cry goes out, the king is coming. And he comes again out of the clouds as Lord of lords and King of kings. He's coming to gather all nations before him, because in Revelation chapter 20, John says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The dead, small and great, stand before God. The sea given up as dead. The graves opening and the dead coming forth. And he'll divide them on that day. There'll be those on his right hand who are blessed. There'll be those on his left hand who will be sent away into everlasting darkness. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Jesus. Robert Moffat, and with this I'll finish, was the father-in-law of David Livingstone. He was the first great missionary to South Africa. He got very great with a King Makaba, King of the Zulus. This was a mighty warrior. And he had destroyed tribes. And tribes, as recorded in history, had disappeared. He had slaughtered them. He had victory over them. He defeated them in battle. And he was the supreme king in that area. And Robert Moffat had a great influence upon him. And Robert Moffat said that one day, he says, I was preaching and I mentioned the resurrection. And the king immediately heard that word. And he said, what? He exclaimed with astonishment, what are these words about? The dead? The dead shall rise? Yes, was my reply. All the dead shall arise. Will my father arise? Yes, I answered, your father will arise. Will all the slain in battle arise? Yes, and all that will have been killed by tigers and by hyenas and crocodiles, will they revive? And Robert Moffat said, yes. They'll revive, they'll be resurrected, and they'll come to judgment. The king talked to his aged men. He says, have you ever heard anything like that? That the dead would rise? They'd never heard it. And then it says, Robert says, turning and addressing himself to me and putting his hand on my breast. Father, he said, Father, I love you much. Your visit and your presence has made my heart white like milk. The words of your mouth are sweet as honey, but the words of a resurrection are too great to be heard. I do not wish to hear them again about the dead rising. The dead cannot arise. The dead must not arise. I said, why can so great a man as you refuse such knowledge? Rising and uncovering his arm, which had been strong in battle and shaking his hands as if quivering with a spear, he replied, I have slain my thousands, and shall they arise? But you know the dead will arise. And if we have died, we shall arise. Some unto everlasting bliss, and some unto everlasting shame. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. Amen.